Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. And you big one tonight, the Candy Stripe Pants come to PBA. It's Indiana. It is Nebraska, and you are going to get cranked up for it. Tip off 8 o'clock, BTN. And we'll get you there. Welcome to Hail Varsity. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let you do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. You can email us, chris@hailvarsity.com, or just yell at us on Twitter, Chris, that's not it, it's Schmidt underscore radio, or at Hail Varsity. No yelling needed, unless you just want to speak loudly. That's fine. We can talk very frankly about Nebraska basketball tonight and what is required. Two more to go. One foot in front of the other, and then hello, New York. We'll get caught up with Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com and Magazine. We'll catch up with Mitch, get his thoughts on the fog. He was down in Lawrence last night for, well, quite a flogging by Kansas over Oklahoma. We'll get Mitch's thought on Big 12 basketball v. Big 10 basketball, where he thinks Nebraska's at, his reaction to Hosmer going to San Diego. There may have been a tear shed for that by Royals fan Mitch Sherman, and to get his take on the Louisville situation. We'll dive into being vacated, if that really stings or hurts. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, to dive all things into Big Ten in 1 hour at 5:06. And some Nebraska football spring topics to get into along the offensive line and quarterback play. So let's talk Nebraska. And the narrative has been hangover, bounce back. Do you get beat twice with the loss to Illinois? And here's the true question. And I think Husker Hoop Central tweeted this out earlier. I want to give them a shout and credit. New York Post had a write-up on college basketball programs that stuck with coaches that could have been on their way out last year. Clemson's done it. Nebraska stuck with Coach Miles. Although it might not have been as timely as many would have liked, including the coach. You got to see a sixth year, and you've got a pretty damn good year number six if you're Nebraska basketball. But here's the first thing that comes to my mind as you step back from the Illinois loss and you look at trying to get ready and fired up for Indiana. Teams fade. Teams hit a wall. Teams fade. Good teams can fade. Bubble teams aren't allowed to fade, or they become non-bubble. Bad teams, well, they live in the fade. And that's what we got to find out about Nebraska basketball tonight. Are they a fader, or are they a team that can take a couple of shots, go down and get that standing eight count, and then keep punching to go boxing on it for a minute? That's what I want to see tonight with Nebraska basketball. Are they a fader? Do they have us fooled? Did they get hot? Are they this good? Now, I think they're absolutely very, very good. The difference between this team and in 2014 is I believe this year's chemistry quite a bit. You don't see guys getting grumpy compared to guys coexisting with each other and just hanging on. Dear God, is he going to derail this thing or are we good? Should we let him? We'll see. Colton, I hold you responsible. We're welcoming Nate. Nate, last time we had you on, we switched it from football to basketball. Are you in on hoops today?
I'm always in on hoops. Season ticket holder. Have been for like 20 years. I'm good. So what I'm going in on here, though, is like this whole Tim Miles fiasco for the last 3 years has really been a case study of what's really wrong with this program, and it's the fan base. Okay, so Tim Miles, let's look at this objectively, 6 seasons, has given us 2 of the best seasons in the top 10 seasons in the history of this program, which is the worst program of all the Power 5 conferences, right? There should be no discussion of panic. This team was supposed to finish 13th in the conference out of 14, with Vegas saying 14 wins. If we lose today, if we lose to Penn State, if we lose the first round of the tournament, guess what? This is still his top 10 season in the history of Nebraska basketball.
That's sad commentary. Let's not mix up what this season's become,
right,
and excuse a fade. You can't go out on a 1-2 finish. You can't go out with anything
well,
but two victories.
By that logic, though, then Eric Crouch should be erased from our history books because his last 2 games, he and the rest of Nebraska were absolutely embarrassed.
They got beat. Crouch didn't have bad games, though. Crouch was incredible. Here's what I'm asking you. Don't change what you've built up. Or are you the Nebraska fan, Nate, that was all good with going to the NIT this year once you got on the bubble?
So I'm a very measured person. So, like, had you told me before the season NIT, I would have been super hyped.
You were kind of expecting NIT.
I wasn't expecting anything.
Really?
No, this team, you didn't. I mean, I wanted to believe it because you can't. I mean, you.
If you let 3 guys, 3 high profile recruits leave on you, hit the exit, you better damn well have talent ready to go. Hence the transfer. So you
That's
knew something,
but it wasn't guaranteed.
Nothing's guaranteed,
right? So to me, whatever this team gets, it's already better than it should have had. So this crash and burn narrative, it's just absurd to me. It's absurd, and the reality is, of the 5 guys we're talking about, probably 4 of them at least are coming back. There's one that I'm pretty sure isn't, but they're going to come back, and they're probably going to be a preseason top 30, top 45 team. So, I mean,
how'd that work out the last time that situation occurred? How'd 2014, 2015 end up? 18 and 15?
I would state that Nebraska team was literally teetering on the edge the entire time. I was never that big on Pettaway or Shields. I think Palmer and Rose.
Nate, brother, you've got a Pettaway and Shields jersey if you've been a season ticket holder for 20 years.
Never did. They were good. I rooted for them. I liked them. They were good kids. Very nice, very accommodating for autographs and whatnot. But you cannot tell me that Teran Pettaway and Siobhan Shields are in the same freaking league as James Palmer and Isaiah Roby. Roby's probably going to, and if he stays 4
they're
years,
above them. They're above both because they've gotten to a tournament at least.
Well, I mean, yes, that's true. But remind you that these guys, this is their first year playing together, and they got another year. I mean, this is your building season. The panic of people.
Nate,
the
truth here,
crazy.
Brother, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate you listening. The truth is the roster turnover allows you no building season. If you get hot and you're good and you're talented, you better make it happen because it's not guaranteed tomorrow. It wasn't guaranteed in 2014-15. You're just not guaranteed to have. Ideally, yes, you get 90% of your strength back, and damn it if you miss it this year. Great. Yeah, next year. Doesn't happen that way. Hasn't happened that way at Nebraska since knee, and you had the 4-year span of Pike's freshman year to Pike's senior year. Just wasn't in the mood to argue any longer. Then you got to figure out what this team is. I do appreciate the call, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Is this team a team that fades, or is that kind of a blip? That's exactly what the question is, and that's what you'll find out tonight. And you're going to see Indiana come in and stroke it. They're a lot like Iowa. They're good at offense. They're good at shooting beyond the arc. And does Nebraska want to defend? It's getting hard, and maybe you can relate to this. Colton, You may have experienced it already because I'm guilty of it. You're down to the last few weeks as a college student. Got a couple, three classes that you really don't want to retake and have to explain to mom and dad or your financial loan officer or both why you got to retake something. Well, I got a D plus. Well, you were kind of sitting at a C or a C plus before the finals. Mm-hmm. All you had to not do was screw it up. So are you going to put the time in and put the grind in to finish it right? It's easy to in that moment when you get towards the end to be exhausted, to be tired, to say screw it. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska kind of said screw it on Sunday with their choices. Shot selection, first and foremost, decision making, and just letting a team that is worse than a whole slew of teams they just beat them. And you know, you got hot and you got a spark with the three against the Illini, and then you kept on that momentum to Michigan, and you beat Wisconsin, you got Minnesota, and you always, always, always responded on the road at home against Maryland. But now what's the truth? Well, the truth is you're a 10 times better basketball team that has enough poise and moxie to respond the right way, take the right shots, make the right pass, get the key rebound, and then, yes, defend, because you've won. You've been a 45% shooting team if you're lucky. You've been better at PBA. You've been bad on the road. It evens out. But offense ain't what you hang your hat on. It's been defense. And you said, screw it, not into it. And a brutal team that's a little better at State Farm Center went off. You got to ask yourself, are you going to grind and then you're going to respond or not? And that's what I want to know. Here's Tim Miles from yesterday. We'll have more in hour two from Coach Miles and his thoughts on, you know, the guy we're all talking about here. And he's been a topic of conversation, Glenn Watson. And here is Tim Miles, though, specifically on kind of that mindset, on those choices you make. This in reference to 26 three-point attempts against the Illini.
It frustrates me a little bit because, you know, if we could just get the ball, every time we got the ball, you know, just around first one time, we got a layup. And that's what we had done against them at home, has got to the rim a great deal. And sometimes it's harder on the road. But I think when you look at the path of least resistance, sometimes it's just shooting the three. It's not making your free throws. It's not playing very good defense and not fouling. All things that happened, you know. And so it was a very difficult night for us. Sometimes you got to hit reset, and that's what we have to do. And you got to bounce right back and play good Indiana team.
Okay, so he pretty much laid out that you just kind of got sick and tired of grinding. Easy to do. Been told how great you are for six games. And the tournament's there. Penn State's going to be huge. Screw all the prognosticators and all the folks that have a bubble watch going on. Nebraska's getting hosed. Oh, yeah, you forgot to play a game. I hope they can bounce back. And do you worry about a hangover? Do you worry about the Illinois game turning into a two-game losing streak because you can't get over it? I think with the turnaround time, I think this team's makeup, I think this team's chemistry, I think the relationship, which is different and much, much better this year with Coach Miles and his kids, are all factors into why you win tonight. We'll have our predictions in a little more than an hour on what the score will be, and we'll play the point spread game. Danny's the degenerate, but you'll pick that slack up, Colton, with what you think happens. Mitch Sherman, we'll get his take on some NCAA basketball, on Louisville, on Oklahoma, Kansas, on Nebraska. That is coming up here in about 5 minutes. If you're texting and driving, there are stupider things to be doing, but it's a very short list. This behavior is always dangerous, and for every driver, all the time, no matter how safely you think you can do it. Sending and receiving a text takes a driver's eyes off the road an average of 5 seconds. It's like driving blind at 55 for more than the length of a football field. So texting increases your crash risk by 23 times. Texting and driving in Nebraska, illegal, and you can get popped. A fine between $100 and $300, so no text message more important than your life or the lives of your passengers and others on the roadway. This message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Take some of your tweets. Chris at HailVarsity.com is the email. You can find us, of course, Schmidt underscore radio on Twitter at HailVarsity. Does Nebraska start to fade? Or bump in the road, one game blip that you see across college basketball this time of year. That's kind of where you get defined tonight against a team that's coming in hot. I think the team bounces back. If you want a straight up Gilquan, a very, very unsturdy ledge, you talk Glenn Watson will go off. I don't know that. You haven't seen it in 16 games. Why would he? Well, there'll be more from Miles here next hour on Glenn working through some of his issues. Mitch Sherman of ESPN next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
We shot it great, so it was a fun night, a good win, and certainly we need a game where we could not sweat to the very, very end, and that was nice to see.
That's Bill Self. Yeah, they shot it outstanding, pounding Oklahoma, Kansas over OU. Some college basketball thoughts. We welcome in with Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman, who was in Lawrence. Mitch, how was the experience? What'd you think last night?
Impressed with KU. I don't know what all the talk is about KU being down this year. They looked pretty good to me last night. I say that jokingly. I've seen them on TV, and that was the best of KU with the 30-point win. All of the other conference wins that KU has had at Allen Fieldhouse this year have been by 8 points or fewer. So if KU is playing like that, then they're going to be more than just a tough out in March. But, you know, that's 40 minutes of basketball, and there's been plenty of other evidence that indicates Kansas is, maybe in for an early exit in March. So we'll see. I will say that I just returned home, and I know you like to hear these things.
Please.
It was a harrowing experience. I woke up with more than an inch, maybe close to 2 full inches of ice on my rental car this morning. So tales from the road for Mitch continue in Kansas City with a much delayed return home, driving through the ice, the mother of all ice storms, which came unexpectedly to Kansas City this morning.
See, and Kansas always shares some of that ice, and it wasn't good in Omaha, it wasn't good in parts of Lincoln and across the state.
Yeah.
I mean, they send all of everything north, obviously, but man, Mitch, how did you just start the car and go get a cup of coffee, and 45 minutes later you could see, or did you break out the old credit card?
Yeah, I went to the car at 7 a.m. thinking that the radar was looking bad, thinking that I could get out of Dodge and beat the storm. And the storm had beaten me because it was thick on the car. So I went back into the hotel and waited about 4 or 5 hours for everything to pass through. And then of course I had a huge amount of ice on the car. So yeah, I started the car. I couldn't open the door. I started the car remotely.
Laughing with you.
Yeah, the rental car had a remote start on it, and started it remotely, and warmed up so I could open the door. Then I turned on the defrost, and yeah, I used all of my ice scraping skills. So, you know, I know everybody likes hearing about this. It was pretty exciting stuff, but
Kansas City up about 90 miles to the north. If you drove that on I-29 today, I commend you because I was right alongside and it was not a fun drive.
Well, and last part of this, is that how the state of Kansas keeps people? Is just the act of ice storm?
Well, I mean, this was the state of Missouri, so.
Okay. From bad to worse.
Yeah, I got to talk to gas station attendants all up and down I-29 about Eric Hosmer because I was wearing my Reclaim the Crown Royals sweatshirt I had to stop a lot because my window was needing attention. Mm.
How are you with the Hawks moving to San Diego?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, would have liked to see him stay, but I'm never going to actively root for a star to go elsewhere. But I think that this brings the inevitable more quickly, and probably also starts the healing and rebuilding process at a faster rate than if he had stuck around. So while I didn't want to see him go or see Moose go or see Kane go, this is what we signed up for when the Royals got good a few years ago.
Mitch, you're taking it like a true champ, my friend.
Yeah, not all Royals fans are, having been in Kansas City for the last 24 hours. I can tell you that not everybody is taking it that way. There's some angry people, but I don't know what was expected. I mean, they weren't gonna re-sign these guys, so just the way it is in small market baseball.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, where do you sit with Oklahoma in comparison? And let's spread it out to the Big 12 compared to, say, a Big 10. The number of bubble teams.
Yeah.
And and Oklahoma's fade right now. What do you think of them? Do you think they're what level of danger number are they on?
It's getting dangerous. I asked Joe Lenardi before the game last night. I can email with Joe Lenardi, which is an awesome thing about working at ESPN. If Oklahoma was in danger of falling onto the bubble with a loss, and he told me he had them slotted 23rd before the game last night. So you're talking about a 5 seed still. And, that's falling fast. And a 30-point loss, I don't care if it's at Allen Fieldhouse, is not helping anything. But it speaks to the strength of the Big 12. And there are some bubble teams in the Big 12. Baylor, Kansas State are bubble teams for sure. West Virginia might even be getting into that category. So, and Oklahoma definitely is now. I mean, the thing is, when Trae Young is going well, they're definitely a tournament team and a team, and that'll help them with the committee because you want Trae Young in the tournament. That's probably not the best way to put it. And I don't think they're going to come out on Selection Sunday and say we gave Oklahoma the benefit of the doubt because one of the most exciting young players to play in several years is on their team, so we're not going to leave them out. But if they win two of these last three, take care of business at home against K-State and Iowa State. I think they're going to get in. They've got six quality wins, and then the league is undeniably good. It strikes a nerve around here because it's Nebraska's former league, and because Nebraska's current league, while usually good in basketball and not bad in basketball this year, it just doesn't have the same cred that the Big 12 does right now. It's not as deep. I mean, look at the Big 12 with Iowa State at the bottom. That's a difficult game. It's not like playing Rutgers. So that's going to help Oklahoma's case. It's going to help the case of some of the other bubble teams, and indirectly it's going to hurt the case of a team like Nebraska. So Oklahoma is, and Trae Young is not going right now. I mean, Kansas played great defense on him last night. They were denying him the ball at half court. They were switching off of him, at every opportunity, putting big guys on him. They had a seven footer on him at times as part of the double team. So they're throwing looks at him that, he says he's seen this before and he's worked through this before. And I asked him after the game, when's that? He was referencing his AAU days, and it's just not the same. Whatever he experienced before is not, in spite of what he says, is not the same as doing it at Allen Fieldhouse and some of these other gyms that he's been at in the Big 12. So he's going through something right now that, you know, is probably going to make him a better player in the long run, but it may cost Oklahoma a chance to play in the NCAA tournament in his only season.
Mitch, where are you at with Nebraska after the loss against the Illini? We've got about 4 minutes.
Well, you know, I think it was inevitable that Nebraska was going to lose one of these games down the stretch when they had 7 or 8 games left, and they talked about how they're all winnable, or we talked about how they're all winnable, and maybe they have to win out. You know, I don't think Nebraska has the kind of team or that was going to win every game the rest of the way. And, you know, commend them for what they did to get to the point where they had just 3 left and still with that still on the table. And then, you know, put themselves in a spot in the second half to win at Illinois. One of these times, playing as many close games as they have, it's just not going to go your way in one of these games. So, you know, to put a positive spin on it, I think it takes some pressure off of them. They're no longer in this position where they're trying to win, you know, 9 games in a row to end the season. You can kind of hit the reset button a little bit with that loss at Illinois. I think play a little more free in these last 2 games at home. Yeah, you still need to win. There's still pressure on you, but in kind of a strange way, I think it may allow them to be more themselves in these games and just know, all right, now you get through them and you're going to have to probably go do something in New York. You can't lose in your first opportunity in New York and expect that the committee's going to reward you just because of the unfortunate circumstances of what's happened with some of the teams they've played and those, you know, that's because on the strength of schedule aspect of it. So, no, I expect to see them play well tonight. And but again, both of these games this week at home are tough ones, like many of the last few.
Mitch, final thought here on Louisville and their appeal being shot down, and now they get to take the banner down.
Yeah, I guess they have to take it down. I read some comments like, "What's the NCAA going to do? Going to come in and get the ladder out and remove the banner if Louisville refuses?"
NCAA sent somebody to go up and get it.
Yeah, it's not very far. You know, they can drive over from Indy to Louisville, I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe Mark Emmert can, you know, get there himself and like have a fire truck lift him up to the ceiling. But it hurts for sure. And they're setting a precedent that we haven't seen. I mean, I heard on the long drive home from Kansas City this afternoon, I heard on the radio this will be the first vacated championship in the Final Four era. So, you know, that goes back quite a ways. So Louisville, you know, congrats on doing something that nobody's done before. And you know, and the scandal itself is no laughing matter. You know what happened there on Rick Pitino's watch, and that's why he's not there. And well, it's part of the reason he's not there, and part of the reason that Tom Jurich is the AD is not there. The other part is what's still to come with the feds. So they are not out of the woods. You know, it hurts to lose a national championship for sure. At least in, you know, on paper, those guys who won it can still claim it. But there's more to come, it seems, for Louisville with regard to potential penalties and just the taking more polish off of that proud program.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, was in Lawrence last night. His thoughts on the bubble and take on Louisville. Can read him at Mitch Sherman on Twitter, ESPN.com. Mitch, stay warm, avoid the ice, and we'll get caught up next week. Thanks for making time today.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Good to spend time with you, Mitch Sherman. His take, and that's a pretty funny picture. Depending on how dark your sense of humor is, Mark Emmert in a lift from the Louisville Fire Department up there with his own scissors. Cut the banner down. We'll spend a little time on the cards up next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Now there's no formal recognition of Louisville winning the national title in 2013. The banner will come down. The trophy will be returned. and all the records will be stricken as far as Louisville actually winning the national title in 2013. But no, Michigan does not all of a sudden get that title handed to them. Dude.
You know, some of you still hate Michigan here and you're cheering. Nothing good for Michigan ever. And from a Louisville standpoint, any sympathy for the Cards getting stripped of their title? Now, the first, and appropriately put, strip, the first stripping I recall was the Fab Five, Michigan. I'll never forget that team. Loved that team. Couldn't pull off the black socks and baggy pants, nor the finish at the rim like that team. But I love that team. So Louisville has to vacate their 2013 national title, their 2014 Final Four appearance. Greg Postel, their interim president, because with this scandal in FBI, aside from these rulings and these law break-ins, he's the interim guy. He disagrees with the NCAA's ruling. I can't say strongly enough disagree. The NCAA is wrong. We stated in our appeal, we made a strong case based on the NCAA president that supports our argument. So let's do some thinking out loud as to how do you write an appeal letter to the NCAA with what Louisville did from 2011 to 2015. And I ask you again, any sympathy for programs like this? Are they the first program, football or basketball, to have strippers or prostitutes hang around?
Probably not.
No.
Most definitely not.
Name me. I mean, did you ever see part one or two of the U, 30 for 30?
Yeah.
If you're hanging around Uncle Luke, I'm not saying the prostitutes, but he can't have that many, you know, backup dancers. Just can't, maybe. I don't know. You got to ask Uncle Luke sometime. So if you're going to represent Louisville and put this appeal together, first and foremost, your take is, look, the NCAA's jurisdiction's it's not your job, NCAA, to punish criminal behavior on college campuses. Mm-hmm. Did that with Penn State and then kind of retracted it. That's the first thing you say. That's up to local police and prosecutors to enforce criminal laws, not the NCAA. The other counter argument here is the extra benefit when it comes to recruiting inducement. Was there a competitive advantage that prostitutions were like any other improper extra benefit? I'm saying this with a straight face. This is what you throw in front of the NCAA. Can you prove it was an extra benefit? If it's prove to me that it's not going on other places.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk timing as well. Did prostitutes help them win a 2013 national championship? Did it seal the deal on getting guys who averaged 20 and a half a contest to win the 2013 title from 2011 to 2015? Was there evidence that the proof of these extra benefits existed? So it's outside your jurisdiction. Can you tell me that the link between prostitutes and the team was cause for a national championship? And also, the guy who paid these gals, what was it, 20 grand? I have the numbers here. Let me be specific. $10,000 for 22 shows. $10,000 for 22 shows. The guy went rogue. He lost his mind. He was worried about his job. Had to feed his kids. had to get a five-star on campus. I know nothing. The last thing, does Patino have to vacate his tattoo?
Whoa.
He agreed to a tattoo.
I saw it today.
And he got a cardinal, didn't he?
Oh, he got the L.
Ah, sorry.
Like the script L.
Okay, so he got the script L.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he can get a two-for-one deal and get a scripted V on the other side for vacated. Listen, I don't feel sorry for Louisville.
No.
Patino is a guy I held in really high character when he took over Kentucky, who'd been just blasted for payments of players. They went off to the NBA, got paid to lose in Beantown, and he came back and had the gall to take on your arch enemy, Louisville, after being at Kentucky. And he set up Kentucky for a few years. And now he's got to keep up with the Joneses, as in you got to beat Kentucky and coach Cal. And people think Cal's super dirty. I'm not saying he's clean, but he's never gotten nailed on anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just prostitution, campus, extra benefits, and a 2011 to 2015 encore rendition for these services. That's just that era. This whole wiretap evidence and $100,000 to Brian Bowen's Papa Bear is a whole new world and the tip of the iceberg. So do I feel sorry? Do I feel sympathy for Louisville? No, because while they may not be the only ones doing it, they have been busted twice horrifically. I guess don't be a stupid criminal's my take.
Mm-hmm.
Any sympathy from you?
No. You feel a little bit, I don't want to say bad for the players, because like obviously they were the ones out there like putting in the work to win the national championship, but like as from an athletic department standpoint and from a university standpoint, like the NCAA had to do something to make sure that, well, and now all it's going to do
for Louisville, I mean, there's your counter arguments, and then there's Louisville. Hey, we took postseason ban last year. We've been fined 5G. We've taken a scholarship hit. We're still in the competitive ACC.
But they always try to do those self-imposed bans. That way the NCAA doesn't look into it.
See, look, we spanked ourselves.
Exactly.
Don't hurt me.
Because if you're the university doing the investigation, you can kind of push certain things away.
And then they've...
You just throw out a number.
People have lost their job. New AD, new president.
Right.
Patino's gone. We'll wind down hour one. Rick Pizzo's coming up 15 minutes away. Big Ten buffet time. Get his take on Nebraska, on the national anthem, on hockey fights. Hour two on the way. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. 10 minutes away, Rick Pizzo. Time to tell you about AgriGold. You may have noticed a different soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year. That's AgriGold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm the AgriGold way, with high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground. The approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. Sympathy, yes or no, for Louisville. Can tap the line with Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-377-6800-825-5865. And let's step further. Sympathy for Nebraska as to where they're at on the bubble. You had ESPN come out further with a new rendition of bubble talk. And your same three are your same three for the Big Ten. Ohio State, Michigan State, Purdue. Those are your locks. Michigan is a should be in. Nebraska is now below Penn State on work to do. My mind hasn't changed from yesterday. They gotta win out and then get to the finals of the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. And I still won't use the safe word. Not Van Poelgeest, not that safe word, but Nebraska's safe in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if they can kind of recalibrate. If this is a wake-up call. Yes, it's a wake-up call, but what do you do with the wake-up call? Do you take a hammer to your alarm clock? Or do you pop out of bed? It was 5 minutes straight of FaceTime drama this morning, speaking of, to get Junior out of bed. Kid's got a computer, could power NASA. He's got a TV that somehow hasn't burnt out yet. It's always on Netflix. I need to be a better parent. Just too short.
Netflix is a parent.
Well, yeah. But problem is he can go to what his mom watches. That isn't good for anybody. I mean, she's a little spicy with her likes, what's in her click. All right. Let's tell you about how to get a pair of tickets to see Miller Band. They're coming to Lincoln in August.
Some people call
there we go. This is our cue to call this week for Steve Miller Band in Frampton at Pinewood Bowl. Caller 8 gets a pair of tickets. Be caller 8 now. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Steve Miller Band's good stuff. Frampton used to have great hair. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 8 gets you Frampton and Steve Miller Band tickets with Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln. So, caller, we're going to do one on top of the other here. That hurts. Okay, it's Colton's World. Pizzo, up next, Big Ten Buffet, Bubble Thoughts, Hockey Fighting, Fergie. Mr. Rick on the way with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Getting ready for Nebraska. Indiana, big one tonight for Nebraska. We welcome in with the Big Ten Network. You watch him. And great stuff, as always, from Rick Pizzo. It's Big Ten Buffet time with Mr. Pizzo at BTN Rick Pizzo. Mr. Rick, how are you?
Well, Schmitty, other than the fact that I'm stuck in my waders and scuba mask in the tropical rainforest formerly known as Chicago, life is good.
Tell me about this rainforest, sir.
Bro, I have a puddle in the front of my house that is probably the size of a small lake. It's no longer puddle classification. I mean, we got like 2 feet of snow, and less than a week later, it's been 60 degrees and pouring rain for 2 days. What do you want?
Let's stop thee, man. It's pouring rain now, and it was 60. I saw your 60 on Saturday, and then it was ice and snow in Nebraska time to be 20 degrees and a wind chill of 5. So your rain's okay.
Bro, don't get me started on climate change. You could get me going for hours. Let's talk sports.
I know. Okay, let's talk sports. Nebraska, Penn State, who's in bigger trouble?
Nebraska, because they have less opportunity. There's your trouble. When your schedule is so front-loaded and you make it through with wins, but you don't make it through with quality wins, what you can't afford is a bad loss. Illinois, even though it was on the road, was a bad loss.
Now you have two home games to finish, games that you have to win, but because they're at home against unranked opponents, basically do you no good. They're not quad one. They're not quad two. That's the new terminology. Penn State still has Michigan. They still have Nebraska, and that game is on the road, so it is more valuable for Penn State if they win than it is for Nebraska if they win. That's why right now, even though Penn State has a bigger challenge to get two more wins, they have a much greater opportunity.
They have a great opportunity, and they almost nailed Purdue along the way to really put some momentum together. What do you think about Nebraska here? I know you just said that their opportunity is not great. Have you recalibrated what they got to do, or is it still, are you in the camp of finals in New York City? Have you reshaped your thinking here, assuming, and it's never great to assume, but assuming Nebraska finds a way to get by Penn State and first and foremost finds a way to get by Indiana tonight?
Okay, so let's say they get by Indiana and let's say they get by Penn State. Here's the problem for Nebraska. That means you lock up a four seed. That means you lock up a first round bye, right? That sounds great, doesn't it?
Double bye,
but it's not really great because then your quarterfinal opponent is not a ranked opponent. In all likelihood, it's not going to be a quad one win, which is what you really need. You're not going to have an opportunity to get that in all likelihood if and until you get to the semifinals. So I started going back and doing the math and looking at something that's called the nitty-gritty, which matches up the RPI, your quad one wins versus quad four, all the way down, your opponent's RPI, your non-conference strength of schedule. It appears to me that unless the sky drops out in other conferences, getting to the finals is the bare minimum for Nebraska. Now, if they get to the finals with what we can assume would be a quad one win in the semis of the Big Ten tournament, and they also take care of these two games this week, that I think they have a very good chance, but I still don't believe it's a lock.
No, I think they're anything but. Let's go to Penn State for a minute as well. They have opportunity. Say they split. Say they get Michigan, lose to Nebraska, or they lose to Michigan but get Nebraska because Nebraska counts as a good win. Where's Penn State at on this radar? Where do they fall on the nitty-gritty?
Well, it's very interesting because if Penn State doesn't win out, if they lose one of these two games this week, then that's a bad scenario for them as well because they have the potential to fall all the way to a 7 seed. Now, the 7 seed is locked in to a Thursday matchup against the 10 seed. So, again, that does Penn State no good. They get into the situation where maybe they do have a quarterfinal opponent, whether it's in all likelihood Purdue or Ohio State, that would give them a quad one win if those two teams win this week. But I think Penn State's in a very similar situation. They looked great against Purdue. Looking great is nice. They appear to have NCAA tournament-level talent, but they didn't win that game at the end, and it will cost them. I think they're in a very similar situation. I don't think there's any resting easy unless they get an AQ. I don't really think they put themselves even in the conversation unless they're in the semifinals at minimum.
Rick, what's the scheduling feedback been like, at least what you've heard from other Big Ten coaches? It's been different sorts of sprints within this marathon of the season. And then the conference tournament starts on February 28th, and you'll have a week in some eyes to rest, or in other eyes, a week to be forgotten about. Up to Selection Sunday. What are you hearing from coaches? What's the murmur?
Well, I think the final say will be had when Selection Sunday rolls around, how that week off impacts the selection committee, because sometimes yesterday's news, as you said, is forgotten very, very soon, but also how the teams that get into the tournament respond without being in a competitive atmosphere for potentially 15 days. I mean, you think about a team like Michigan. If they get stuck in the 5 seed and they have to play on Thursday, and let's say they get upset and lose that game, they are still making the NCAA tournament. Let's hypothetically say they get put in a Friday first-round game. Chris, that is 15 days between games. Mm-hmm. That is an eternity in the course of a season. You cannot simulate in practice. You just can't simulate what you need intensity-wise, situationally, over the course of 15 days. So there have certainly been some issues brought up by coaches whose teams had to play 4 games in 10, 11 days. Those are brutal stretches. but I think we will really find out the impact of this scheduling when we see how it affects the selection committee and we see how the teams in the tournament respond after long layoffs.
Big Ten Buffet, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network with us, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, your reaction to the NCAA and Louisville being told to chop their banner down?
Right now, Chris, I have a hard time being okay with anything that the NCAA is doing. Okay. You look at some of their rulings in the past 5-7 years, some of the regulations that they have, the fact that somebody had a great tweet the other day, I'm not sure if you saw the Twitter feed from Alabama football about Bama cuts and this new unbelievably decked out haircut barbershop that they have for all their athletes. And yet, if a coach picks a kid up in the pouring rain to drive him back to his dorm, they're violating an NCAA rule.
Sure.
So don't get me started on the NCAA. Right now, they could probably make the smartest decision ever, which I don't think would ever happen, and I'd be against it because there's got to be some reason that they're going to screw it up.
Yeah, it's just Louisville's freaking out. They think they did their work proactively with, listen, we're taking away the chance to win a tournament game, let alone go. Last year, Patino's gone, the AD's gone, you've got the FBI and all of that looming, which is a separate issue to this assistant and the shows he put on for recruits.
And Chris, let me bring this up too. When you retroactively take this away, who does it really hurt? It hurts the players who feel like they can never call themselves national champions again. And 99.9% of these guys probably had nothing to do with anything involved. And even if they did, they were not the ones that were actually committing the acts.
Right.
They were the ones that were either on the receiving ends. And if you want to blame an 18-year-old kid for that, go ahead. It's the adults that have to take responsibility. The blame should not be placed on the kids, ever.
Rick, let's switch to football. A thought here on offensive line play. You do a great job of covering and following Big Ten football. Wisconsin and Iowa have done a marvelous job of putting guys into the NFL. They've done a great job of just continuing to reload on the offensive line. Nebraska's last really incredible O-line, I think, was that season Nebraska went to the Big Ten championship game in 2012, and you have three guys in the league right now from there. You have other guys that have made some rosters, but the O-line has been not up to par consistently. Why do you think Iowa and Wisconsin have had better O-lines? The recruiting has been pretty similar. I mean, when you look at the peer group of teams going after a kid within the Big Ten footprint, it's been Iowa, Nebraska, and it's been Wisconsin going after the same type kids. Why has Iowa and Wisconsin been so much better on their lines of scrimmage?
Well, I think a lot of it is not just the tier of kid or the star rating that you're going after, but where your focus is. At Wisconsin and at Iowa, to a slightly smaller extent, offensive linemen are rock stars. They are just as important as the quarterback at Wisconsin. Maybe only the running backs are more important. At Iowa, I'm not so sure if there's anybody more important. Look who's at Wisconsin right now. Paul Chryst, who was the offensive coordinator before he left to go to Pitt and then returns. Mm-hmm. He's an offensive guy, a quarterback who understands the importance of offensive line. Kirk Ferentz was born and bred an O-line guy. I mean, that is what he did at the NFL level. That's what he did at the college level. I mean, that's where his focus was. So you don't just recruit guys saying we want you to come. At Iowa and Wisconsin, they're rock stars. And I hate to blame this all on the switch to Bill Callahan, but listen,
he's a great O-line coach, though.
I understand he's a great O-line coach, but you're completely changing the formula of how many years with Tom Osborne of an offensive
25.
Approach and system. So you're basically taking a quarter century and saying, but we're going to do it a different way. And I think that changed a lot of recruits, specifically offensive linemen, and the way that they look at Nebraska. I'm trying to think of the last really great running back as well, like the last guy who you could give the ball to and know that he's going to tote it over. I mean, I think Rex was a terrific running back, but would you say he was a great running back for 4 years?
He wasn't hurt. He was hurt quite a bit for 4 years. I thought he was really, right? Really good. I'd have to go with Amir as the last great back.
Yeah. Sure, okay, and then I think there's a fall-off between Amir and the last guy before that.
Absolutely.
I mean, Wisconsin has churned them out. Iowa has churned them out. Nebraska hasn't necessarily churned them out in that fashion, and I think that's a big reason why. Those big uglies, they want to be loved as much as everybody else, man. And in Madison and Iowa City, they absolutely love those guys.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Buffet at BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, you're a big hockey guy. Is there a memorable hockey fight? I just don't know why I brought it up. I saw a GIF the other day that made me laugh, and it was two dudes rolling each other in hockey. Is there a hockey fight that you'll forever remember, or is there one you were part of?
Well, there were several that I was part of, but for the sake of my future and reputation, I'll go with the one that I remember the most. as a viewer, I had the opportunity to see a game of Joe Louis with a friend who lived in Detroit at the time, and we were welcome to Bob Probert versus Stu Grimson, two of the all-time greatest fighters in the history of the NFL, NHL, and I'm going to tell you, Schmitty, for lack of a better term, they kicked the ever-loving crap out of each other for about a minute and a half, which in NHL fighting is a long time, and especially with those two heavyweights, man, I'm not a violence guy. I'm a pacifist 100% of the way, but that was something special to watch. And to watch that on the ice, to see those guys keeping their balance, it's unbelievable.
That's talent right there, Pizzo. Lastly, if we're playing Pizzo Idol, your response to Fergie's anthem is what?
I have no problem with it. If you're the NBA and you sign Fergie to sing the national anthem, you're not going to get a Whitney Houston Diva Classic performance. You are going to get Fergaliciousness. And that's what you got. I mean, that's what she does. She was part of the Black Eyed Peas. I mean, the stuff that she sang on her solo career, it sounded like that. Now, I will say this. That is so far removed from the kind of music that I listen to and that I like that I had a tough time wrapping my head around it. But at the same point, playoff, man. She was just trying to give it her own sweet little rendition.
So your takes know what you're going to get. I hear you on that. And I don't think she sounded bad. You just don't ever hear Marilyn Monroe JFK in the anthem. I've not heard anyone try and pull that off.
No, it was interesting is certainly one way to say it. I did love, I think, the Draymond Green.
Yes.
It's just so classy. He's trying so hard to keep it together, and he just cannot.
His post game was better, man. His eyes got real shifty, and he had this grin on the side of his face. And he was like,
so
please
good.
Don't ask me any more questions about this. It was good. Rick, we'll get caught up again soon and talk some more tournament. Always love spending a few minutes, man. Thanks for the time.
Pleasure's mine as always, buddy. Have a good week.
You too. Take care. Yeah, Draymond trying not to lose it. Still awesome. You've been there. You have been there trying not to just can't hold it. Go. Man, that was funny. Pizzo's good. Always good at saying, hey, here's the hockey fight. That was a part of many, but I'm not going to. We're not going to go there. All right. Glenn Watson. What happens tonight? What happens Sunday? What happens in New York City? Can Glenn get going? I've asked that for a long time. And you're waiting, and you're kind of seeing a little life, and you're still waiting. Well, kind of got the explanation and the answer about lineup change and what's been affecting Glenn. You'll hear it from Coach Miles shortly. Room for you the rest of the show. Can tap the line, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in, 402. 866-ESPN or email the show, chris@HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska, Indiana gets rolling on BTN at 8. Big thanks to Rick Pizzo, part of the Big Ten Network. Mitch Sherman in hour one. Survived brutal ice in Kansas City. That's a long time to have to warm your car up just to open the door. Miss any part of the program, can always catch Hale Varsity on your time. Podcast available, HaleVarsity.com or iTunes. Can listen to us, the ESPN Lincoln app or the iHeartMedia app. Can find ESPN Lincoln there. Of course, hear us across the state on different affiliates. We love our friends out in Western and Central and Northeast Nebraska. Okay, so the question is this. Are we in for a different result tonight with Glenn Watson? Are you sick of talking about it? Have you moved on and given up on getting much out of Glenn offensively? Do you appreciate what he's done defensively and from an assist to turnover ratio? Okay, one of the things that we talked about, and I kind of point to Bo Reed because he knows hoops. Glenn, how good a passer is he? Well, it was adventurous last year. Glenn's worked his butt off to be a better passer, get people involved in the offense, and there's not been a four-year-old in the toy aisle going temper tantrum. He has been an incredible teammate with this transition as the offense has shifted towards Palmer, towards Copeland, towards Roby. What's Glenn done? Glenn's kept the headband on and kept grinding. There's been some instances, though, where old Glenn or primary option scoring Glenn decided to take some shots. Penn State, Sunday against the Illini. So if you're a guy who's fighting it right now and trying to be an asset offensively, can you, do you find a way to come back and get going? Here's Coach Miles. He was asked about that yesterday. How do you get Glenn going? Because it's been asked. Not every practice, but there's been a few practices in a row in big moments in the season. And don't kid yourself, you've had a slew of big moments because these are games you can't fade away in. And Nebraska has done a great job of holding it together till Sunday. Well, this you can't have the wrong sort of streak start Sunday by Illinois. And Indiana's up tonight. Is Glenn, does he get rolling?
If Glenn can just get out of his own way, I think that would help, you know, and because Glenn can fix Glenn. And so, you know, he and I are talking. I know he's over there shooting right now as we speak. And the one thing that he noticed that I think he's right is he's not getting fully extended on his jumper. You can see he's kind of aiming it, you know. So his jump's not as great. So if he can get into a full extension jumper, I think he'd be a lot better off.
Okay, so he's not extending. Little mechanical issue. What has happened with other teammates at Nebraska during Miles? It is coaching, and it's worked. This year has worked. What role have you found Roby in? He's playing the five. He's given up some pounds. It's about athleticism and speed and that length. Well, Roby used to be the guy that after he'd screw up, he'd get yanked. Well, Roby stopped screwing up. They let him play. And look what he's doing the last few games. Jordy was the guy you stuck with and stuck with and stuck with and stuck with at center. And finally, you made a change to this death lineup. Jordy probably was pissed about it, came to his senses, and he's coming off the bench. He isn't doing the power dribble turnover thing as much when they get him down in the paint, and his left little hook shot's been money. Jordy's gotten deep position, turn, shoot, good. You stuck with, and then you made a decision to bail. because you had a better option because you also held Roby to a standard before he could get more time. Anton Gill, guy was the absolute definition of forcing it before his leg injury last year. And what happened? Well, Gill was not great early, then got thrown to the bench. And then he's reclaimed it because every time he came off the bench, man, his energy was phenomenal and his scoring was nice. He's averaging double digits the first part of the Big Ten season off the bench, and he took that starting spot. And now, not really through any fault of Evan Taylor's, he's had to go to the bench. He's the defensive stopper, and he is underrated offensively. Each guy's had their own button pushed by Miles, and it's resulted in a 20-9 mark. So what button is pushed right now with Glenn? You got to know your personalities. And while Nebraska fans can clamor for a better option offensively, Thomas Allen, I don't know that he's better, but maybe. You got to give it a shot, right? That's a school of thought. Do you go with Evan Taylor as your primary point guard? Well, you do that. Do you want to lose that guy as a stopper defensively and ask him to do more things offensively, like run the show? How does Glenn respond to coming off the bench, if that's a real thing? You got a guy whose confidence issue is already brutal to the tune of below 50%, below 40%. In the majority of his last 16 games. You got to know your psychology. And the psychology here is different than Jordy's, is different than Anton's, is different than Roby's. Hence, you're going to stick with Glenn. Because he's the same dude who's gone for 30. He's the same guy that for most of his career is the barometer. But he's also the same guy that you've asked to be a stud defensively, run the show offensively, and then yield to other options offensively. So that's more concentration put on the defensive side versus the offensive side than you as a offense either need to say, Glenn, here's your new role that you've been performing. One more little thing, you're not going to shoot as much because you're not making it. You no longer have a green light. You have a yellow light. But then that comes back to confidence. Screws up any flow. Screws up any hope of getting out of that funk. I just want to see them go to Roby more. Cope's kind of like the old Bill Cartwright play to start the old Bulls season or game. They'd throw it to Bill and Bill'd get the first basket. Establish the paint, or he'd murder somebody with his elbow. But Cope's your guy to get your shot. Palmer's your dude to get to the rack. It's not if, but when he goes off, takes over the game for a little while, gets others involved. Roby's been your hustle transition point guy to be able to dribble and kill the other team's big off the bounce. Well, excuse me, there's Roby, and he's taken a large volume of shots. You don't bench him, but do you ask him to take fewer shots? More from Coach Miles on Glenn here. I said Roby a minute ago. I'm talking about Glenn Watson, and if he gets going offensively, the answer's likely no, because he hasn't been on since Penn State, and that turned sour. So does he need... Is he allowed as many shots?
And then we got to get him to take some good twos, you know, the twos that matter, and make some of those inside contested shots, because people just run two and three at him. Glenn is, I wish he'd, you know, kind of get crafty like James, and some of this is an innate ability, you know, to get fouled. Yeah. Glenn would rather get the shot off, and, you know, if we can just get him back, get fouled, get him foul line five, six times, you start feeling good. But Glenn's one of those guys, I love him to death, and he wants what's best for us, and you know, I don't think it bothers anybody more than Glenn that we lost that game, and so we're not going to We're not going to divorce him when things are bad and remarry him when they're good again. He's our guy, and we're going to roll with him.
Okay, so there's your answer, and I like that. But it is about shot selection. And that's key to what Coach Miles said. Get to the line. Well, when I remember Glenn averaging double digits, Glenn also had quite a few free throw attempts. He was a guy that could slash to the rim. His little runner would go. His mid-range pull-up. All of that built into him being a three-point guy. He's never been a great three-point guy. It was always the mid-range or the drive and finish. The ability to get loose. And now, once he gives up the ball, he goes in motion, and he's now turned into a jump shooter because the ball's not in his hand always. So just say, politely, homie, take it to the rack, get to the line, and then go from the line out. Get your feel, get your rhythm from the free throw line, and then just finish. Draw some contact. Don't live and die from the three. I mean, that's been the killer, man, is the number of threes he's taken and he hasn't hit. Now, bless his heart, he did hit it. He drilled a huge one to tie it. He just tried to drill a second one to tie it that was just absolutely brutal. You know, I don't know about you, but have you kind of redefined what's a good game for Glenn? I mean, he's been, you know, it's been 4 of 12 for 12 points, some assists. I've loved him on defense. I mean, he saved that Maryland game with his intensity. He was so good against Michigan. He has turned himself into just a straight-up killer defensively. I know everyone took a vacation the first half of the Illinois game, but for the most part, Glenn's done a great job of really concentrating on that. That needs to be commended. How many guys that are offensive guys that have been your team leaders in points produced have said, screw it, I'm not playing D? Not him. So, great example setter there. We'll get into some Nebraska football thoughts. Colton will have a prediction in about 15 minutes on Nebraska and Indiana tonight. I'll have some thoughts. You can tweet at us at Schmidt_radio, at Hail Varsity, at Two Birds, One Stone. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff today. Big thanks to Rick Pizzo to kick the hour off. Mitch Sherman in the first hour. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. 800-825-5865. 466-3776 can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. Already gave away our one pair of Steve Miller Band tickets and Peter Frampton. Is your pops a Frampton guy?
I'd have to ask.
So that's a, I don't know.
That's a maybe.
It's a maybe. Steve, I think everyone's been a Steve Miller Band guy.
I think that one's fair to assume. But I don't know. I'd have to ask him.
Okay. That's all right. Well, good story here by Sam McEwen on Mario Verduzco, Husker quarterback coach. And it lays out what Coach Mario wants in his quarterbacks. You know, you got several things with Nebraska that, and you can list off the greats, and you don't know if you have a great in the quarterback room right now. Can one be kind of manufactured? Are the traits there? Can they be coached up? Can they be talented? Can they be the best quarterback in the West? Can they challenge the quarterbacks in the East beyond for a greater stage? And you're encouraged by what you've seen from Frost and his slew of quarterbacks at Oregon. And you're really encouraged by Coach Mario and his work with McKenzie Milton. and you're hopeful that that travels from South Florida to Nebraska. And you've got O'Brien and Jebbia and Vedral and Adrian and Andrew Bunch. So in this story, in this interview from Sam McEwen with Coach Mario Verduzco, he says the F word a lot. Fun. He wants the quarterbacks to have fun. He'll test them. He'll get them ready. They need to know the offense. They need to score it. And there are four domains of learning that really are pretty cool. Affective, cognitive, psychomotor, and physical. And he makes a point, man. To be quarterback at Nebraska, you got to be pretty good to great. And if you want to be a 10-win or better quarterback, you've got to be phenomenal. Okay, what are those different types of cognitive skills? Well, you got to know the playbook, the cognitive side. From affective, got to be leadership. The guys like you. Do they like playing with you and for you? And then the others, you know, are you able to play quarterback? You have the arm strength, the size, the ability. That's important. So all those traits are impressive. Do guys like you? Do they want to play with you? And above all, you got to set that example for the rest of the team. That's your responsibility as quarterback at Nebraska. You got to be a hard worker, be the best worker, and show guys that you're in it with them. And that kind of goes back to Frost. That goes back to Crouch. Goes back to Frazier. That goes back to Brooke. That goes back to probably Taggy and Gill. The guys felt awesome about them because they know they'd win with them. But the respect level was off the charts because of them being, as Frost likes to put it, tough guys. And you've just had either insinuation or kind of an eye roll, or he's just different with some of the past quarterbacks. And he had a grad transfer recently. People have made a habit of killing Tommy Armstrong. Were his teammates on board with him? Well, some. Others, no. And then before Tommy, it was Taylor. And that was kind of an adventure. Had all the physical talents, but did guys want to follow him? Now we're kind of ripping old scabs off, but that's been an issue. You've not had, like, a quarterback issue since Joe Gans or Zach Taylor. Guys that could make the throws, were talented, they were the hard workers, they got it between the ears from a playbook standpoint, and it worked. But you can list off so few names that fall into that, they kind of hit every chord on all four points by Coach Mario. And that'll be key. And you feel good about Jebbia and talking to Martinez. You feel great about him, especially if he was the number one get for Frost. You like O'Brien's skill set and demeanor. The time we talked to Coach Calhoun, POB is a competitor. Bunch is there. And then Noah Vedral, man, I mean, that's a steal to get him, who's another coach on the field, is what they're saying. It's time, though, to step up your game at quarterback for the University of Nebraska. And that's go win ball games and be the reason you win games, you could manage games, but don't be that guy that helps lose a game. You're going to be asked to throw the ball accurately, get some big plays, keep the turnovers down. That includes running the ball as well. It's a kind of a new world, and a great – I invite you to read it. And you guys know who Sam is, but Omaha.com did a really nice story here on Coach Mario. 466-377-6800-825-5860. I think they've got a quarterback in the room right now that can help get Nebraska over the hump. Where's my proof? Don't have it. Maybe a bit of blind faith. But out of one of those dudes on campus right now, don't you have a guy that the team wants to play for, that has good arm strength, can run the football, will be very cautious with turnovers, will outwork or work as hard as everybody in the room, and they can go win ball games when the chips are down? It's not much of a grocery list, is it, Colton?
No, it's not too big, right?
I think it's enormous. I think it's enormous, but you got kids there.
Yeah.
So that's important. Reminding you about your friends at Sauter Heyman, it's time to visit Rick and company. Hope you did so for Valentine's Day. But Sauter Heyman, Nebraska, is an exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Pure-grown diamonds, if you're not familiar, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. And they have the same characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, and many customers think they're much more beautiful. They're eco-friendly and sustainable, and they're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Maybe you want to do Mama a solid and encrust her band from the wedding ring with some diamonds. Maybe you're celebrating an anniversary or a birthday coming up. Maybe it's just time to say I love you again. Sauter Heyman, pure-grown diamonds, where to go. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Can log on today, sauterheyman.com. Prediction time, Nebraska, Indiana, when we come back.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Been a good show today. If you missed any part of the show, we'll have excerpts on ESPNLincoln.com. And you can catch the full show on your time, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. It's all free for you. Subscribe if you like. And subscribe to both the magazine and the website. Great premium content with recruiting you're going to love from Greg Smith. Great insight from Mike Babcock, Husker baseball and football and hoops with Derek Peterson and Jacob Padilla. So can subscribe today, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. And think about the web and, of course, the magazine, 855-3-HUSKER. That recruiting issue is out, and it is spectacular. Colton, how you feeling tonight? Are we talking bounce back or fade? Continual fade.
I think they bounce back. I don't think this is where they start to go away. I think Rick said
Let's be straight. They could have... Sunday's Sunday.
Right.
And Penn State's good enough. Doesn't matter if Nebraska's win streak gets to 7 or 8 or was working on 9 going into Penn State. Penn State's a good enough team, night in, night out, to come in here and win.
Yeah, and I think you're worried. That's the game you were worried about to begin with.
That's the game, yeah.
Because, you know, winning 9 in a row was a huge task to ask, right? And you felt that one of those last three, not that they'd get tired or quit or anything like that, that it just, it would happen. There'd be one game where it just doesn't go their way, shots aren't going down in any case, and they just can't find it towards the end. And it just so happened to be at Illinois, who was a bad matchup when they came here.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska's lucky to be 1-1.
Right, and so the split with them is...
It's bad, but it's real.
Yeah, and it very easily could have been 0-2 against Illinois, and then we may not even be talking about a chance to get into the tournament. So
here's the breakdown for the Danny Burks of the world. Casino Danny. Nebraska is a 69.7% favorite or likelihood to win here, matchup predictor. There's a 69.7% Nebraska wins this thing, 30.3% that them Hoosiers and their candy-striped warm-ups win. Money line right now is minus 180 for Nebraska, plus 150 for Indiana. Over-under is 139. So, and the line's 3.5. Usually you get 3.5 for having the place in your gym.
Mm-hmm.
That's football. I don't know if it drops for basketball. I am going to break tradition and pick against Indiana. I'm going to break tradition here and pick Nebraska tonight. I'm going to break tradition and say Nebraska wins this thing, and they bounce back, and they win by about 8, 78-70. Indiana's kind of like Iowa. Let's get into a pickup game, and defense is optional. Nebraska can't. I don't expect them to be great against Indiana the whole night, but I think they come out way better, way more focused.
Yeah, I think
win and cover for the Big Red. What do you say?
Yeah, I think it's about an 8-10 point game. I'd say 75-65 Huskers.
All right. There you go. Do not take our advice. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Tom Pender's with us. Andy Markowski tomorrow as well.